reading to you from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, and with the 34th verse. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, listen. I'm here to tell you that to know Jesus is the greatest thing that'll ever happen in your lifetime. You say, Cecil, I'm a Christian, and I haven't been enjoying my Christianity. Oh, beloved, it's not his fault. It's your fault. He said, come follow him, and he'd take us, he'd bless us, he'd anoint us. But I want you to know, God has a call in everybody's life. No, it won't be a call to preach. No, not necessarily. But every Christian has a job. And if you're not doing your job, you're not going to be happy. Well, I'm going to be free with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and with the 8th verse. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites of Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites, and as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands at one side and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcome the Amalekites' army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of the Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Now, we've labeled this the holdup. After the water came, from the rock came war. Now, the children of Israel were refreshed and rejoicing. Ah! But trouble followed this great triumph. And I read in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Well, dear friends, listen. The attack of Amalek. Joshua leads a select force in the battle. Moses, Aaron, and Hur oversees the conflict from a hill. What does this battle have to do with our church? Well, I read in verse 10. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Listen, we're in battle right now. The churches are in battle. America's in a battle. The world's in battle right now on practically every front. You say, well, you might be right, Cecil. You know I'm right. Just look at your newspaper. Turn on your TV. You'll find out there's war everywhere. And have you noticed the earthquakes lately? My stars. You know what? I've been in there down that country in the South Pacific. And that, I don't know how many was killed. And I don't know how many was killed in the Philippines. I don't know how many was killed over just in this other land. We're in a battle. And the forces of evil are arrayed against us. And I read in Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Did you hear that? But what did the Lord say? Finally, be strong in the Lord. Friends, there's so many people that tell me they know Jesus, but their lives don't even act like they do. Now, God didn't call you and me to be fruit inspectors, but I'll tell you, if there's no fruit in a man or a woman who professes to know Jesus, you can best assured that they don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Ephesians 6:10, it tells us, now I just read that to you, didn't I? Mistaken ideas about the work of the church. Listen to me very careful. We are not here just to preach and teach. And we're sure not here just to raise money. And all that's what most of them are doing right now. We're not here just to run programs. We are here to do battle with the enemy. And friends, listen. Eternal issues are at stake. Souls hang in the balance. Standards of righteousness are being compromised. The foundations of decency are crumbling. But I'll tell you this. We are equipped to win, not to lose. In the power of the gospel we find in Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God for salvation, who believes to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Did you realize that? Do you realize Paul wasn't ashamed? Are you ashamed to tell people you're a Christian? You say, well, I don't think so. Are you? Did you know I know Christians. They go to restaurants with other Christians and eat and don't even ask the blessing. You know what they're doing? They're ashamed of Jesus. That's exactly right. And it's a danger situation. If you know the Lord, let the world know it. Now we have the power of God's Holy Spirit. And he has to pass through Samaria. You know why? You see, the Samaritans hated the Jews and the Jews hated the Samaritans. But Jesus one day said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was an evil woman there at the well. And God was concerned about one more soul. So Jesus and his disciples, all the disciples didn't understand why he had to go to Samaria, but therefore he was there. He was tired, and the disciples went in town to get some food. And this woman was drawing water from the well, and Jesus said to her, could you give me a drink? She said, me give a Jew? What's going on? And you know what he did? He told her about her life, told her that she was living with a man that she wasn't even married to, had five other husbands. Boy, howdy, it shook her. Man, she ran back into town, and she told those people that, I think I have found Jesus, the one we've been hearing about. Did you know that even though that woman was an evil woman at one time, God let her lead those people out to see Jesus? Friends, listen, you know what? There's a fallacy saying that to be a servant of the Lord, you have to have seminary, you have to have Bible college, you have to be good looking, you have to dress nice, you have to be very intelligent. That is a lie out of hell. Do you remember what they said about John and what's his name? They said, oh, boy, those guys are ignorant and unlearned men. But then they said something else. But they know that these men had been with Jesus. Friends, it's your heart. You know, he wants us to do something for him because he did everything he could for us when he died on the cross. Now, I've had people say to me, well, you know, they took his life, those Jews did. Oh, they did not. The Bible said he gave his life for you and for me. Why? Because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, friends, I hate to bore you, but the morning I gave my heart to Jesus, I had been drinking for 30 days. I'd been crying. I was losing everything. I'd lost my business, our home, our car, lost everything. All I had left was my daughter, three sons, and a wife. And they were getting fed up with my lies. They were getting fed up with my evil life of drinking. But you know what happened? God led me to a preacher in the phone book that I never heard of before. And I called this Reverend Tom Baird out of the Yellow Pages. And I said, preacher, I'm so sorry to call you today. My life is in shambles. I'm losing everything now, and I'm losing my wife. She told me that she was leaving me. And I said, I'm afraid to commit suicide because I'm afraid to die. Oh, he said, son, you don't have to die. He said, are you sober enough to drive over here to my place? And he told me where he lived. I said, yes, I'm sober enough. He said, well, get over here. I went over there and he let me into his home, a perfect stranger and a drunk. And there I sat on a davenport and I cried till I had nothing left in me. And then that preacher looked over and said, Cecil, God loves you. Jesus died for you. Won't you come to him? Won't you confess that you're a sinner? He said, you are a sinner? Oh, yes. I had no problem believing I was a sinner. But the problem that I had was to know that God really loved me. My life had been in shambles. I'd lost my mom, my dad. My mean stepmother used to beat me and lock me up in the basement and abuse me. Oh, I had those memories. But that morning, the Holy Spirit of God revealed to me that he truly loved me. The Bible said, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that morning after I got on my knees, I just looked up and I said, oh, God, if you're up there, here's my heart, my life, lock, stock and barrel. And that morning I found something that I never knew was possible. I found peace with God. I walked outside and every robin in the city of Seattle was singing. Sun was coming up over Boeing like the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen. And the pastor said, Cecil, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things is become as new. Friends, let me ask you, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? You say, Cecil, I don't think so. Well, this, if you hang on just a little while longer, I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to help you preach the most, pray the most powerful prayer ever known. Now, it's only words, if you don't repent and turn your back, if you're not sorry for your sins, and it's only words, but if you really mean it, the Lord will come into your heart and he will take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then you'll begin to know the greatest miracle of the world, a born-again experience. Only Jesus can give that. Nobody else can do it. Now, the Bible tells us that the ultimate victory is sure. And I read in 1 Corinthians 15:57, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. You say, Cecil, look at, I've been witnessing to people and I've been doing this, and that, but I don't see any results. Well, what did he say? He said, be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Hey, it's not in vain as long as it's in the Lord. Now, don't you go out there and present yourself to the Lord. Present yourself, but you present Jesus to people. Don't present your church, present Jesus. Then after they're saved, then you can invite them to your church. That is, if your church cares. And I'm asking you, does your church care about people? Oh, they're loving people. That's not what I ask you. Do they care? Do they care whether a soul's going to spend eternity? Man, I tell you, we've got a job. And it's not easy. If I told you the Christian life was easy, I'd be a liar. I would be a liar if I told you that. The Christian life is not easy. It's hard and it's difficult. But it's worth it. You see, you're going through some heartaches right now. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're alone. But if you're a Christian, he said, I'll go with you, even unto the end of the world. Oh, my friends, I tell you, sometimes I lay down in my bed at night, and I have a hard time breathing, and I pray, and I pray, and I ask God to help me, and he does. Why? Because he loves us. Now, it tells us here, we may become weary in the battle, and verse 11, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it up under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Now Israel seeketh weapon in the war with Amalek. Now, when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. But when Moses let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Moses' arms became weary, allowing Amalek an advantage. Hey, now let's get personal. Your pastor sometimes becomes weary. Oh, yes, he does. Fatigue is associated with the ministry. I know. The fatigue that follows preaching, the fatigue that follows long hours of study, and the fatigue that comes from spiritual conflict. Each one of us sometimes fight fatigue. Now, friends, you know what? I was running a big business here in Denver. My wife, my three sons and my two daughters, and we had, of course, other men working for us. And we were working long hours, 6 days a week. I'd get on a plane on a Saturday afternoon, and I'd fly to Roanoke, Virginia. I'd fly to Washington, D.C. to speak in the Pentagon building. And then I'd fly back, and I'd be so tired, I couldn't hardly stand it to go to work. But you know, the Lord undergird me, and I'd pray for strength. My family would pray for me to have strength to do the job. And then I'd get on the plane the following Saturday afternoon, and I'd fly somewhere else to preach the gospel. Or I'd go to Japan and preach the gospel, or Hawaii, or Alaska, or Mexico. But I loved every moment of it, tired or no tired. was such a good feeling to lay down in your bed at night after a good day of preaching and witnessing and soul winning. But, beloved, it does take a lot out of you. And each one of us, sometimes we fight fatigue. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sure you do. What can we do to win on these weekdays? Well, verse 12, it says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. A stone was provided so that Moses could rest. Oh, build your rock on that. Build your church, your building, your home, or your church on a rock. That rock is Jesus. It won't move. It won't crumble. Oh, my friends. A stone was provided, and so Moses could rest. Now, Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands. How can we hold up weary hands? Well, I'll tell you one thing we can do. We can pray for one another. You know, I'm always asking people right now, right this now, because this past week I've been kind of under the weather. I've got people in, missionaries over in Ukraine. I got missionaries in Cuba. I got missionaries in Africa, in China, praying for me today. And I hope and pray and trust that you who listen to these tapes will pray for me and my family and my wife. But we need to pray for one another. That's what the Bible said. By refusing to criticize one another, and hey, we're all guilty of that, beloved, we sure do. And we can hold up each other's hand by encouraging one another, by faithfully worshiping with one another, by joining together to win people to Christ. Pray for one another. Pray for souls. Here's a morning prayer. Oh God, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and do me with power from on high. Lord, give me holy boldness. And Father, give me precious souls for my hire. Beloved, it's been my prayer for 54 years, and it sure works. Wherever I go, I try as much as I can to share Christ with my movie, my book, or whatever. Just say a couple of words for Jesus. You don't have to preach a sermon. Just share what Christ has done for you. Well, Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands all day long. And I read in verse 13, so Joshua overcame and the Amalekite army with the sword. They won that war. Oh, friends, let me ask you, let's hold up weary hands and gain the victory. Friends, you know what? You know what's going to happen? One of these days there's going to be a trump sound. You bet your life there is. Oh man. And you're gonna see Jesus with outstretched arms saying, come unto me all you labor and heavy laden. I know that you've had a tough week. So have I. Oh, but I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm leaning on Jesus. That's the only hope I've got. It's the only hope you have. Well, you see, Cecil, wait a minute. I'm trying to live my Christian life. Well, you need to trust. You need to trust Jesus. You say, well, I don't do that. I've never been very religious, but I don't even know why I tuned in tonight. Well, that's because God wanted to talk to you. He wanted to tell you he loves you. I love you, and most importantly, Jesus loves you. And if you'd like to know him and you'd like to go to heaven, and you've got a little old tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head with me right now and pray this powerful, powerful prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my wasted life. Tonight, Lord, I would like to open my heart and let Jesus come in and be my personal Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone. call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Oh, friend, I won't sit and write and ask you for money. I don't do that. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Call me at 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, call me collect. I'll pay for it. And then I'll send you some literature. Oh, friends, listen. Don't put it off. Because it might be too late if you wait till tomorrow. Tonight might be the last time you'll ever hear a call from the Holy Spirit. I'm waiting for your call right now. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, I pray that you trusted Jesus tonight. And if you're a Christian, you're born again, I don't care what church, what denomination, if you claim the name of Jesus, then you better get busy. Because Jesus is coming back. Might be a lot sooner. I tell you, than people think. We're living in troubled times. We're living in end times. We don't have no guarantee we'll be here tomorrow. I don't. You don't. But if we have a promise, he'll save us if we'll repent and call upon him. Well, friends, continue to pray for my wife and I as we go to prisons. Pray for our health. We're not in good shape, but we want to be. So until this time next Sunday, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.